Hi, how are you? I hope you're doing really well. Thanks for listening all day to WGN Radio and keeping it right here. Right now, it's time for the Winter's Business Lunch with me, Jisoo Ki. And joining us on this Wednesday is Terry Savage. Terry, it's great to have you with us again.
Oh, boy, can we keep up with all of this?
Well, you know what? It's April 1st. It's a great day to have you because it means the first quarter of the new decade is officially in the rearview mirror, and what a quarter it's been, right?
It was horrible, and there's no April Fool's. Everything seems like an April Fool's joke. Gee, before we start, we didn't plan this, but let me make four different topic comments, and then I know we're going to do questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, the first is the stock market down now 800 points or so. We talked about this for 2 weeks. I'm going to put this to the side because we knew that the stock market wasn't just going to bounce straight back. That couldn't happen because the economic effects would go on longer. Yesterday, Jeffrey Gundlach of DoubleLine, I was on his own personal webcast podcast with him, and heard him say that he bet dollars to donuts. That's a quote, that the market would retest the lows that we made 2 weeks ago. So no surprise it's down today as bad news comes out. Number two topic, stimulus checks. I know we're going to talk about that. At terrysavage.com, I put a brand new post up answering your top 10 questions about checks. So before you post any questions at my website, please read that. The third most important topic is unemployment compensation. I am working on that. That will be tomorrow's story on WGN Morning News and on my terrysavage.com site. The fact is the state of Illinois is not yet geared up to deal with self-employed individuals who are filing, people who are about to lose their benefits because they've run out already, and the extensions that are promised to them. So we can talk about that later if you ask questions, but I'm working on that. And finally, the most critical element today is we face April 1st with people paying rent and mortgages.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There's a lot of discussion about what to do. Let me say one thing first. If you can pay your rent or mortgage, you must do that. Forget this talk about a rent strike. The rent you pay, if you're living in an apartment building, to the building owner are used to pay, in many cases, for your utilities and also for your property taxes. If the property owner can't pay property taxes, those taxes are used to pay for basic services like garbage collection, police, and fire. So if you can pay, you must pay. If, in fact, you cannot pay, you need to contact your landlord and talk about what kind of a plan. Yes, there's a stay on evictions in Illinois for while the stay-at-home order is in effect, in Cook County for until May 18th on rental evictions, but eventually these bills will have to get paid, and you need to work out a plan. Landlords have to be understanding as well. But just going on strike or not paying when you can pay is not the answer. Mortgage foreclosures, if you have a HUD, federally insured Fannie Mae, Ginny Mae insured mortgage. Yeah, it's hard to figure out whether yours is. You just got a mortgage and then they sold it. But if it is, you don't have to worry about foreclosure. But I think you're going to see a delay in foreclosures as well. This part of the problem, you know, we talked for 2 weeks about the stock market, but this crisis in housing, we know how that can impact the economy. This strikes at our social fabric, so that's going to be the next top topic. So those are my four things: stocks, stimulus checks, unemployment, rent and mortgage payments. I made a list for you. Now you can have your show back, and I'll just answer questions when I can.
Well, I do appreciate that organization, Terry, and that was not lost on me when I woke up and saw the date and had to send my payment to my landlord. I thought, how grateful am I that I can pay my rent and I have a job? And of course, heart aches and thinking about all the folks who have insecurity in terms of, you know, whether they can put food on the table and keep a roof over their head. So the number here is 312-981-7200. Terry Savage is going to be taking your calls and answering your questions. You know the number, 312-981-7200, just in case. Terry Savage is with us today. She's our expert on finance, the economy, and the markets as well. But she can answer all your questions on stimulus checks and unemployment compensation, anything you want to ask her about money. She's pretty much got an answer. Hi, Terry. You ready for your first call?
I'm ready for my first call with the Dow now down over 900 points.
Oh, dismal day today. Okay, yeah. Let's check in with, I think this is Linda. Do you have, I think, Linda, hi, how are you?
Yeah.
What's your question for Terry?
Well, Terry, I'm blind, and I'm 75, and I don't know how I'm going to get a stimulus check, and if I do, do I have to pay taxes on that at the end of the year?
No, there's no taxes on this check, and do you get Social Security or Social Security? Yeah, Social Security or 75?
Yes, I do.
Okay, it'll come the same way you get your Social Security check. May not come soon. Nobody knows when it'll come. Remember, we're talking about the same government that tried to organize signups for Obamacare and couldn't get their website together, okay? So this is not going to be an easy process, but those who get Social Security, even if you don't file for income tax because your income is too low, or if you get Social Security disability payments or any other federal payment, you will automatically get your $1,200 check, assuming you didn't make over $75,000. You'll get your check the same way you get your other benefits. Okay?
Okay.
If
I don't take
a while.
Over $75,000. I just thought
it's in the mail. Yeah, I know it's in the mail,
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Linda, for your question. So that's good news. You will definitely get your check. Terry, here's a text question from the 312. Terry, is there any talk about IRAs being exempt from penalties and taxes for early withdrawal?
Yes, that's one of the big things that happened. You do not have to take your 2019. IRA, RMD, which you would take based on the 2019 year-end value, you do not have to take it in 2020. If you already, okay, let's make that very clear. People take either one lump sum out or they take a monthly checkout. They're required. Once you were 70 and a half, many people started 70 and a half. They actually delayed it for people who are 72 as well. You don't have to take an RMD. The details are in a column on my website at terrysavage.com. But no RMDs for 2020. Now, I know a dozen people out there are going, but I took one. I took a big hunk in January. January won't help you. You owe taxes on that, and the taxes are withheld. But if you took that RMD within the last 60 days, hurry up, go back to your custodian for your IRA and say, I want to make that a rollover to a Roth. And you can put that money back in within 60 days, either into your own, or because they already withheld taxes, put it into a Roth IRA if you don't need it, and you will have the money working for you tax-free.
Okay.
It's a 60-day rollover window. In other words, if you already took it, so if you took it in February or March, that's a trick you might want to try.
Oh, that's a neat trick. So you said if that happened in the last 60 days.
Yes, you only have a 60-day rollover window, so you can say, whoops, I didn't have to take it. I don't need it. Now, you can take money out of your IRA anytime. It's always taxed as ordinary income. But if you took it out because you were forced to and you took it out in January, you took it out at a very high valuation. You might have sold some stocks to do that, which is good. Now you can roll it over. If you took it out in February or March, you can roll it over into a Roth.
Terry, this is another text question from the 630, and I know this was a question that was actually answered in your article on terrysavage.com, the top 10 questions you're getting about stimulus checks. But Kate B. wants you to talk about college students and how they qualify or if they qualify for stimulus checks.
This is so weird. You may have a college student who's 18 or 19 or 20 who actually had some part-time work and filed a tax return. But if you filed your 2019 tax return and claimed that child as a dependent, which you legally could, then number one, let's call him he, will not get a $1,200 stimulus check because you named him as a dependent. And because he is over 17, you don't get $500 for that child. So if you have not filed your 2019 tax return yet, file it let your son file his own tax return for his pitiful income from summer income, or even not file. As long as he's not a dependent on your return, he will qualify for a $1,200 check.
Okay. This is
complicated. It's all up at TerrySavage.com. Anybody who has been declared a dependent, a lot of people, by the way, take care of their elderly parents, for example. Their parents might get Social Security, but because you pay for their rent or help them out, you could list them as a dependent on your tax return.
Right.
And then now here's the problem. Once they're listed as a dependent on your tax return, they don't get the $1,200 check.
Okay.
And you don't get $500 for dependents over 17.
So the key here is whether they have been declared a dependent on the parent.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so if
tax
you
return.
You maybe did it last year, but if you're filing this year for them as for your 2019 return, then don't list your college student kid as a dependent, and he'll get the $1,200 check. Now, look, I want to also point out there's a great resource available for the next 3 days. At TurboTax.com, they are offering free online chats with CPAs and enrolled agents, even if you're doing the free filing, which they will do for you online, if you have a very simple return, just like Social Security benefits or maybe 1099 or W-2 income and not very much else. They are actually going to let you talk live to an agent, and even if it doesn't cost you anything to file. And by the way, filing with a TurboTax Deluxe costs, I think it's $50 to start. So you want to go there on TurboTax.com, fill out the questionnaire. They'll decide where you belong. And if you do it this week, even if you don't have to pay anything for a return, you could get help from one of their agents. I think they started this as a great promo, and now I'm probably going to overwhelm them.
So this is a text question from the 872. Since you mentioned Social Security, this is from the 872. Someone told me senior citizens who are fully retired and not working are entitled to a check. Is that true? Making far less than $25,000 collecting Social Security, could that be?
Yes, that could be. This is your government printing money and sending you a check. So even if you were not required to file a tax return, let's start with Social Security recipients. But you have Social Security, but it's not enough maybe to required to file a tax return. You are going to get a 12. I feel like Oprah. You are
yeah.
going to get a $1,200 check. You are going to get a $1,200 check. And think about all the people that, which we don't really think about on a financial show, that are out there who have low incomes but don't qualify yet, maybe they're too young, to qualify for Social Security. They don't file for income taxes. Maybe they just do odd jobs for cash. Whatever it is, they're not declared as a dependent on someone else's return. Those people, I mean, I've heard from them. They are housekeepers or hairdressers who work for cash. They're the underground economy, not because they're rich and evading taxes, but because that's how they get paid. Those people will have a chance to register at a new website. It probably won't be up for a month or more, where they can put in their name and address and say, yeah, no, I didn't have very much income last year, but I don't get Social Security. I don't get government checks. You won't find me. You can register there. And the way to look for that is irs.gov/coronavirus. But I'll have that at TerrySavage.com when they finally get it up and running.
Got it, Terry. Okay.
Everybody gets a check unless you made $75,000 on a single return or higher, and that phases out at $99,000 and $150,000 basically on a joint return, phasing out a little higher.
Well, Terry, let's go to Victor. Victor has a question about whether he gets a check if you're on disability. Victor, this is G. What's your question for Terry?
How are you doing, ladies?
Very well, thanks.
We're great.
I got a question. I'm on disability, and I didn't make enough to file for taxes. Now, I'm hearing that you have to file an application to the IRS in order to get
No. Are you on Social Security disability?
SSDI.
Yeah, you get a check. They know who you are. You'll get your check same way you get your SSDI.
I don't have to file any form
to
the IRS?
You don't have to file anything. But don't hold your breath, Victor. It's going to take months for this all to get done.
No, that's no problem there. I was worried that I wasn't going to receive it.
If you're on SSDI, you get a check.
Thanks,
but I don't have to fill out. I don't have to fill out no tax form.
You do not have to apply. If you're already on, if you've either filed taxes or on Social Security or SSDI or another government program, they know who you are. You're getting your check. Now, I'm not speaking for the government. How organized they're going to be about this, but that's going to be the biggest ongoing story for the next 6 months.
I think that's definitely been a confusing point in terms of, you know, what if someone hasn't filed for their 2019 taxes, or what if they didn't file their 2019 taxes?
The most important thing you can do, file for your 2019 taxes. Now, you don't have to file for your 2019 taxes if you owe money to the government. But I'm thinking that's mostly people who made a lot of money and didn't have enough withheld or whatever, or they filed quarterly or whatever. So anybody who's expecting a refund, which is like 70% of filers or something like that, according to TurboTax, you should file your 2019 return now. That does not mean you have to go down to the corner store or go get the forms. Just go online. TurboTax.com. That is the way to do it right now.
So, Terry, there's no looking at the 2018 taxes at all?
Yes, if you haven't filed 2019, by the time they get around to sending these checks, they're going to look at 2018.
Got it.
But maybe in 2019, you don't declare your college-age kid as a dependent.
Right.
Maybe in 2018, you made too much, and in 2019, you qualify. Get that tax return done right now.
I think to piggyback on what we're talking about, Karen might have a question that goes to what we were just talking about. Hi, Karen. This is G. What's your question for Terry?
Hi. How are you? Oh, thank you so much. Well, I have two 23-year-olds who graduated in May. So they were students, and then they became gratefully employed. One's a teacher, one's in the Army. So they filed their for this last 6 months of 2019. But my tax accountant said you will claim them as students on your on this tax 2019.
Have you filed it yet?
Yes, because they were students for half a year.
Call him back. You know, you could file them as dependents, but you're going to cheat them each out of a $1,200 check.
So, but they each file their own.
I know. It doesn't matter that they filed their own. If you're a dependent on anyone's return, you don't get a check. And you don't even get the $500 for having them as dependents because they're over 17. So immediately call your accountant and say, excuse me, I think I have a problem. Can we refile my 2019 taxes? And what's it going to cost me? So look, I don't know what it's going to cost you to not have them as a dependent. If it's going to cost you $3,000, then you'll say, I cheated them out of $2,400 worth of checks, but I saved $3,000 on my return. You owe your kids a little birthday gift.
Right.
So, Karen, I hope that helps, and you're going to hang up and call your accountant right away. So that's what you've got to do. Okay, thanks for calling, Karen. Okay, we're going to have a lot more with Terry Savage coming up. The number is 312-981-7200. Of course, the lines are lighting up, Terry, so you're going to have a lot more questions to answer when we get back. But let's first check in with the WGN Newsroom, which is coming up now. Wintrust Business Lunch, where Terry Savage is answering your questions. By the way, if you're looking for a good read, I know a lot of folks are looking for good books, you should check out Terry's book, The Savage Truth on Money. Terry, let's go to Patrick. He has a question that a lot of people, I think, are wondering. Hi, Patrick. What's your question for Terry?
Hi. Own a real estate business, full service, residential, commercial, property management, et cetera, leasing. And last year, my income was around $50,000 after I paid some expenses. But I sold a personal small three-flat apartment building, and there was a large gain on that because I had it for 30 years. Is that gain going to push you? Does that go towards pushing
you,
over
let me tell you
the $75,000 mark? What's that?
The taxable income that they're looking at is your adjusted gross income on line 8A of your 1040. So you take a look at your 1040. I'm I'm reasonably sure, but not 100% confident in telling you that that's included in your adjusted gross income. But I know it'll be filed on a schedule, so you either ask your accountant or look at your tax return to see if that sale, that capital gain, is included in your adjusted gross income for the year. I just don't have the answer to that. If I had an accountant sitting here with me, I'm sure he or she could tell me that real quickly.
Patrick, I hope that helps, and you can get off the phone now and call your accountant right away. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I will.
Terry, similar to the Patrick's question, I knew that this was coming from the 708. Hi, I made less in 2018. Can I wait to file my 2019 because I made more in 2019?
Yeah, you can wait, and you will likely get your check because you don't have to file your 2019 until July 15th. However, in 2020... they will adjust that for any refund. But if you need that stimulus check money now, and if they get around to paying it before you have actually filed your return, and so they don't take that into account, and that's a lot of timing things that we don't know, then you will get the check. But eventually in 2020, when you file your taxes, they'll adjust for the $1,200 you got that you probably shouldn't have gotten in 2019.
Well, Terry, let's go to Mike. Mike, first off, we're very sorry for your loss. Your father passed away.
I'm reading the top 10 questions. I wanted to see if that was there.
Yeah.
I was in charge of his financials. He passed away the end of the year, December 28th. I had to file income tax for him because he had a small pension in addition to his Social Security, so it put him over that threshold. I'm wondering, we're still settling some of his expenses, will he qualify to get a stimulus check, or if you passed
would
away
you believe,
in 2019,
Mike, you
will
are not.
Not
the first person to ask me that question, and the answer is, A, I don't know, but B, I'm not sure that this government is, first of all, let me say to everybody, I think there's going to be a lot of fraud and a lot of misdirected checks and so on and so forth. So I would, you know, I think it's a good bet that because you filed a tax return, and when they go through that and they see that this person filed a tax return for 2018, and did you file it for the estate of the decedent or did you file in his name?
In his name.
Well, I bet you, and I hope you'll write back to me, Terry, at terrysavage.com, and let me know if you get a stimulus check. Now, the second question is, will they figure it out this year, next year, when you file this year's return, which will be for the estate of the decedent, because that's what you'll file for this year. I think our government is, I don't know if they'll ever figure that out.
Well, I have a follow-up
question.
I'll need to file for 2020 since he's not getting any Social Security because he didn't get anything for 2020 because he passed away in 2019.
Right.
So will I have to file for 2020 on the estate?
Well, you may have an estate tax return to file. The answer is this is going to fall into one of those giant cracks. So if you do get a $1,200 check in his name, you deposit it into the account of his estate. If they catch you, you'll have to pay it back.
Well, Mike, I hope that helps. And again, we're sorry for the loss of your father.
All right, thanks for taking my call. Bye-bye.
Take care of yourself. Okay, let's go to Michelle. She and her husband are both on Social Security. And Michelle, you're wondering about how you're going to receive your check, right? What's your question for Terry?
Well, okay, my question is, we did file our 2019 return, and did not receive, we were not eligible for any kind of refund, so there is no bank account number with the associated with the IRS.
How do you get your Social Security check?
Everyone gets it direct deposited.
That's where your stimulus checks will come.
So there we go.
Okay, so are we going now, we were even talking about, well, okay, we'll go ahead and file this year's taxes online, but again, I don't think we're going to be eligible for any refunds, so we wouldn't be giving the IRS our banking information.
Right now,
yes.
It looks like the way the system is going to work is that if you get Social Security, they'll cross-check it with any tax forms that are filed to make sure it's under $75,000 or $150,000 on a joint return. And if you didn't file a tax return for the year showing higher income, they are saying they will plan to deliver your stimulus check in the same way you receive your Social Security check, direct deposited into that bank account.
Okay. Thanks to Michelle for your question. We got time for one more. This is Donna. You just made it in to get your question answered by Terry Savage. What's your question for Terry?
Hello?
Hi, Donna. Yeah, what's your question for Terry?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. My husband and I, our health insurance, we get the money from the government, so it's lower. Is that going to be considered income? Because
no, no. Your stimulus check, that's a good question, Donna. Let me say it very clearly. Your stimulus check that you receive is not going to impact your Obamacare, Affordable Care Act, tax income. It's not going to impact any other federal benefits that might cost you more if you had more income. This is tax-free and will not impact your other benefits. Let me point out also, nobody asked, but this is one of my top 10 questions. I'll make a big point on radio. If you owe back taxes and the government has been docking any refund checks, they will not dock your refund check because you owe back your stimulus check because you owe back taxes. However, the only people, which I think is very well deserved, that will get their stimulus checks docked are people who are behind in child support. That will be taken out of your stimulus check.
Okay.
So, they haven't said if they figured out how to send it to your spouse, but at least they will dock it, and that's part of the system. Look, folks, let me say this to you before G cuts me off. I know time is precious here. I decided that there were so many questions. I cannot answer them all on my website. Please read the top 10 Q&A very carefully. I think it applies to 99% of the questions you might have. You'll find your answer there. I keep posting every day on issues related to the markets, the economy, and tomorrow will be related to unemployment. And I really hope that you stay safe. Don't panic. Rent is due this week. Let me leave you with this last little bit. Contact your landlord if you can't pay. Work something out. Try and pay something. It's more important that you put food on the table for your family, and that you. And I hope the utility companies will give forbearance. But this is all a work in progress. We've never seen anything like this. And final word, if you can't pay your rent, don't join one of these rent strikes. We need the system to keep going. And the landlords who don't receive rent can't pay their mortgages. That impacts the banks and the people who bought the mortgages. They can't pay their property taxes. That impacts cities and counties' ability to provide fire and police protection and help the hospitals. So everybody who can pay your rent or your mortgage should pay it. Let's keep the system going so we can help those who really do need help. $1,200 isn't going to save the system, even if we give it to everyone. We have to keep the system going till we get through the health part of it and back to the economy part of it.
Yeah,
that's the savage truth.
Absolutely. We all have to do our part if we can. Sorry to caller Mel, who's been holding for a long time with an RMD question, Mel, but hopefully you can go to Terry's website.
Send me an email, terry@terrysavage.com. Put your name in the headline because I didn't mean for you to hang on so long while I did that last little bit.
Absolutely. terrysavage.com. Just click on the top of the website. It says Ask Terry, and Terry does actually answer your questions, but not if it's one of the questions she answers in her article, Stimulus Checks, Top 10 Q&A. So read that first and then click on the tab. Terry, thanks so much for being with us. Stay safe.
Thanks,
and healthy.
Big hug to you, virtually.
Absolutely. You know, for many of us, it's been pretty shocking to see the empty shelves at grocery stores, and sometimes it's still happening, especially with toilet paper and cleaning products. Of course, you can't find a Clorox wipe or a spray can of Lysol at all. Here to join us on the Winter's Business Lunch is Robert Carr. He's the president and CEO of Illinois Retail Merchants Association. Hi, Rob. How are you?
Great. Good afternoon, G. I'm well. How are you?
Doing well under the circumstances. Thanks so much for joining us. I know that Irma, you guys do a lot of work with everybody that is in the retail industry. You kind of effectively manage, talk with retailers, the general public, policymakers, and then you also talk with media regarding the impact legislation and regulatory proposals that'll have a success in terms of retail operations. Just how hard hit is the retail industry right now? I'm assuming that covers everybody that's in retail.
It does. It does. And we have in our membership everyone that you can think of, from the largest to the smallest. And we have restaurants and grocery stores, pharmacies, hardware, big box, small, you name it. We have some representation of it in our membership. There is no sector other than perhaps the travel sector, and I would include hotel and retail, that has been hit as hard as the retail sector.
So you're covering the big box merchant all the way to somebody that has a tiny boutique.
We are. That's exactly right.
Wow. Do you have percentages or amounts in terms of, just to see if we can wrap our brain around how hard hit the sector is?
Well, so think about being closed, right? There's a great many of them that are just flat out closed.
Right.
So they're not making any sales. They've had to lay off employees. Some have chosen not to lay off employees or have chosen to continue to pay health benefits, but that can only last for another month or so. So they're not even making any sales. When you think about others like restaurants who are no longer have dining options, for many of them, that is a significant hit to their business. Now, they're trying to stay afloat with as many employees as they can, doing takeout, carry out delivery or curbside. But that can only sustain itself for so long. It does not replace, for most of them, dining in. So that's hit. And even when you think of groceries, everybody thinks, wow, groceries are just cleaning up right now. That's not true either. Are they happy to be open? Absolutely. Are they making a lot of sales? Absolutely. But they're not selling much of their high margin items.
Mm.
The center of the store is where is being shopped hardest, which is where more of the low margin items are. And keep in mind, grocery is a low margin industry anyway, often less than 1%.
So all
of that adds in, plus they're adding costs, trying to keep up with all the new expectations that are on them to help manage social distancing.
Wow, never felt more gratitude for everybody working in grocery stores and all of those essential retail shops, people at the, you know, checking us out and also stocking, and then also the folks driving to make sure, all the truck drivers making sure to keep that supply coming. I know that you've been, you know, on the campaign of letting everybody know, don't hoard, stick to your usual shopping routine. What has changed so far? We've been hearing that, you know, the issues with maybe some empty shelves has to do not with the lack of food or lack of supplies, but really there's bottlenecks in the supply chain right now?
Well, actually, we've removed most of those bottlenecks. So
okay.
First, manufacturers have increased and are increasing their production. Irma worked early on with the federal, state, and local governments to remove bottlenecks in the supply chain. So basically think about it once it comes out of the manufacturer's door to remove all of those bottlenecks to get it to the retail shelf faster. There's plenty. People could not have predicted the run on, for example, toilet paper. There's nothing about the COVID-19 that requires hoarding toilet paper, yet that seems to be the fixation for a lot of people. But we've removed those kinks in the supply chain. We really need now is people to shop normally. There's plenty of food. Just there's no need to hoard.
And what does shopping normally mean? Does that mean shopping for a week, for 2 weeks?
Well, it's going to vary by individual, right? So I have a family of six. We're going to shop typically once a week for the next week. And might be a couple smaller trips to the store for something you forgot in between or you run out of. Somebody else who's living by themselves might shop once for the next couple of days, more of the European style, I call it. Do whatever you normally would do prior to COVID-19.
Robert, there's been a lot of concerns from listeners texting in and calling in about, is it safe to shop at the grocery in terms of, you know, do I have to wash my produce? How safe are the packages? What if somebody was inspecting different packages of, you know, meat and then put one package back? What should people do in terms of their routine to make sure that the produce and the products they're bringing home are safe?
Well, the first thing they could do is self-police social distancing. Be smart. Keep 6 feet away. When you walk in the grocery store, wipe down the commonly touched areas of the cart. Most stores now have made wipes available to individuals. You should wash produce when you get home. Some people are choosing to leave, hard goods, shelf-stable goods, like canned vegetables, for example, in their car for 3 days. But I think you can just wipe it off as well as another option with a clean wipe. They're frankly things that we should have done anyway. And then wash your hands when you get back from the store as well. Those are things we should have been doing all along. So you just need to be smarter about it.
And perhaps throw away the grocery bags. Don't try to save them or take your own reusable ones.
Do not use reusables right now. Many grocery stores are asking not to use reusable bags right now because we don't know what is being brought in germ-wise with those bags.
Got it.
So, yes, when you get home, dispose of them.
Got it. Thank you so much for being with us, Robert Carr. Stay safe, stay healthy. Really appreciate you being with us, President and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.